Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today on this Wednesday. It's hump day already. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of it here with us here as we study the Word of God here together. Thank God it's Wednesday. We're tuning in now to God's frequency. This is WGOD Radio, the radio ministry brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet tonight at 6 o'clock, Sunday mornings at 10:30. You're invited for one of our services. You are invited to attend one of our services. You'll be warmly greeted here by this excellent and this wonderful church family here at Island. We're in the book of Acts, as you know, here at the church. We're going to mix it up this week. It's Palm Sunday. We're going to look at something a little Palm Sunday appropriate. And then Resurrection Sunday is the week after that. Other than that, we're in the book of Acts, and that's where we're going to be here today. When we get back in Acts, we'll pick it up in chapter 5, looking at Ananias and Sapphira, the husband and wife who were killed, who dropped dead for lying to God. More on that as that'll be about 3 weeks. But here now, we're following the Apostle Peter. We're in the middle of his third sermon. Peter and John got arrested. These guys are now getting arrested by the religious leaders for telling people about Jesus. So that's where we're going to be. This started yesterday. If you'd like to hear this whole sermon, you can hear it by going to our Facebook page. A podcast is uploaded on there. The podcast here at WMIE is uploaded as well. Matter of fact, you can subscribe to the WGOD Radio podcast by either through the app, the WMIE app, or the website, WMIEFM.com. Click on the link that says podcasts, and you can subscribe to this, and it'll show up on your phone within 15 minutes after it's on the air. So No Other Name is the name of this sermon. If you missed part one, the video for the sermon is uploaded on our YouTube page as well. So I encourage you to get there, go there, watch this, share it with someone else. There's No Other Name. It's a it's exclusive. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Here's part two of this message.
That's why. That is why you see everything that you see here at this church. This little church used to have eight or ten people in it. Look around now. Thank God for every one of you. And you guys are here. Well, we're praising Him. So you guys, don't be deceived. You're not here because of me. I'm just crazy. We'll get to the reasons why I'm crazy here coming up in a few minutes. I actually have a reason for why I'm crazy. That's coming up. Now let's see what happens next to these guys. We're in Acts. We're in chapter 4. Let's pick it up in verse 5. Now it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. So not only are the religious leaders, but also, as Fred Flintstone would call them, the Grand Poobah is here as well. Or Jackie Gleason would call him the grand, high, exalted, mystic ruler. Verse 7. So when they had set them in their midst, they asked, By what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, catch what it says. What's it say next? Filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, here we go again. Here comes sermon number 3 now. And both barrels, you got to love this fisherman. Both barrels, Simon Peter. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, then let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, there, that's the third time now, he's taking this right to the gut, right to the heart. By the name of Jesus, who you guys killed, whom God raised up from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Now he'll throw in Psalm 118, verse 22. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Verse 12, maybe the greatest verse in all of the Word of God. Verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I think that's the greatest verse in all the Bible. Nor is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. For all of us human beings here on earth, under heaven, that's everyone, everywhere. There is no other name other than the name of Jesus. There is no other way to get to heaven, only through the Son of God. There's no other name. There's no other person. There's just him and him alone. It's Jesus. Praise be to Jesus. He said himself in John chapter 10, verse 9, he said, I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved. Jesus rules. Look, write it down. All other religions are false. I don't even like the word religion. Only Jesus offers you a relationship, not a religion, where God is your Father. He's your Father. It's a relationship, not a religion. It's a relationship where you can call Almighty Jehovah, you can call him Father. Lord, teach us to pray. What does he say? Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. It's a relationship, and it comes through him. The Bible says, through whom we've got access. By grace, that is, I don't deserve to be. There's nothing I can do to get me standing here. By whom we have access, through faith, into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Praise God. That one day he's going to come back and he's going to turn this crooked world right side up. Praise God. Maranatha. Only Jesus offers you a relationship. Jesus didn't care much for the religious leaders because the religious leaders, in spite of all the evidence, refused to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and is the Son of God. Because they wouldn't be important anymore if that was to happen that way. Jesus is king. He proclaimed, come to me, all ye who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The author of the book of Hebrews writes, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, or the trailblazer, that word means, archegon, of our faith. Jesus himself says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, Peter knew that. His Lord said it to him. That's why Peter says, there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. He's the only way. That's what I'm trying to say today. Hopefully I'm getting my point across today. Jesus, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. This is why I'm so excited here today. And this is because I'm remembering that verse where Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto myself." He's promised that in his word. And that's what he's doing with all of us. He's drawing us closer to him. Those that are hearing on the radio or watching this on YouTube, this is what he's doing. He's drawing you closer to him. Through him, we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. It's through Jesus. So we all understand Acts chapter 4, verse 12, right? Nor is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, whether you live in the darkest side of Ethiopia or whether you live in New York City. Now let's see how the religious leaders respond to what Peter just hit them with, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. I love that verse. Maybe that might be, you know, I think I say every week, that's my favorite verse. Now, this one's my favorite verse. At least for another 10 minutes, grant me that. Then they realized that they'd been with Jesus. And people will perceive the same thing in you as well. When you've been with Jesus, spend time with Jesus and you'll be a changed man. Spend time with Jesus, you'll be a changed woman. Spend time with Jesus, you'll be a changed child. Guarantee it. The greatest, most transforming, revolutionary thing that ever to happen to me in my entire life was when I basically locked myself in a room for a few years to work on my own translation of the New Testament. A work that many of you in this church own a copy of, by the way. And when I came out on the other side, having fulfilled my mission and my task, I was not the same man that I was. People ask me all the time, how do you do this? How do you do that? How do you memorize all these scriptures and what have you? Or why are you so excitable all the time? People ask me. And here's my response to you, and that is, something happened to me when I got all alone with Jesus, who is the Word of God. Something happened to me. It changed me. It altered my DNA. Not only am I not the man that I was, but I'm not the Christian that I was either. That's not just talk if you're not a believer. That's talk for you here today, right where you sit. So spend time with the Lord Jesus and others will notice that you too now resemble the man in the glory. I guarantee it. Same as what happened with Moses, right? Moses was in the presence of God. What happened to him? His face shone, and they had to put a veil on his face. It's the same thing with you when you get along with God by spending time with him in his word. I promise you, it's the same thing. Just like these guys here. In spite of the fact that they were uneducated, in spite of the fact that they were untrained, they didn't go to religious school. They got along with Jesus. That's all you need. That's all that you need. All you need to do is get along with Jesus. I believe he'll do a tremendous work in you, with you, through you, to you, and then to others when you get along with Jesus. So the truth of the matter is here, they had been with Jesus, and that's all that anybody needs. That's verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness, plus it'll make you bold too, as bold as a lion. Solomon said the righteous are as bold as a lion. How do you get this boldness? By being alone with Jesus. That's why the Bible says the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. This word is supernatural. Jesus is the word of God. Get alone with him and see what happens. See what God will do when you get alone with Him. Now, I had no idea this was going to happen to me. I just stumbled across. You know, I thought that doing this translation was going to be for somebody else. Wow, was I wrong. Working on this translation, it was for me. It was for me, and I never knew it. It was for me the whole time. I thought it was for others. No, it wasn't. It was for me. And I've never looked back ever since that time. Never looked back. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled, just like they'll marvel about you, too. Haven't you noticed that? Maybe you've noticed it in family, friends, or spouse, maybe, or a son, or a daughter, or a sister, maybe. Wow, that's not the same person. Have you ever said that before? That's not the same person that they used to be. As your pastor, I could say that about a lot of people here in this church. A lot of the evidence would be on your Facebook page. I mean, you can be convicted or exalted from your Facebook page. Let me see your Facebook page. That's going to be one of the evidences you're a changed person. Verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, all right, in Jersey vernacular, what do we do with these guys? These guys are out here. I mean, these guys were nice. Look, these guys were nice to someone on a Saturday. We can't have that. So what do we do to these guys? All right, literal, what do we do to these men? Indeed, a notable miracle had been done through them, is evident to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. So may I suggest an alternative and an idea? How about believing them? Did you ever try that? How about admitting when you're wrong? Did you ever try that? Look, guess wrong when it comes to Jesus, and it'll cost you your soul. I guarantee it. Guess wrong when it comes to Jesus and the person of Jesus. Now, Jesus says, he who does not believe is condemned already because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Get that wrong and you'll lose your soul. These guys guessed wrong. And that's why you want to kill someone for loving on someone on a Saturday. So for these religious leaders, again, it's how can we hurt these guys? Look at these guys walking around here all nice to everyone, healing sick people. Imagine these guys telling people that God loves them and wants to save them. We certainly can't have any of that, right? Verse 17, and their solution. But so that this spreads no further amongst the people, let us severely threaten them, so that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So not just threaten them, but severely threaten. Now this text has got the same Greek word for threaten back to back. It's kind of another way, because there's no exclamation point in Greek to make something, you know, I'm going to crown you guys. Severely threaten is the apaile means to menace someone. To severely threaten. Now, if these guys, if Mr. Land had invented the Polaroid camera back in the year zero, they would have pulled out a little Polaroid there of him hanging on the cross, and they would have said, do you see that? This is what's going to happen to you if you continue to do this. That is the equivalent of what these guys did. If there would have been Polaroids back then, that's what they would have done. If you guys keep this up, then this here is what's going to happen to you. You're next. Stop telling people that God loves them. We won't have any of that. We won't have any of that. That message got the Son of God killed. So that's their advice. Let's call them back in. Let's severely threaten them. Now, verse 18. So they called them in. They commanded them not to, first of all, not to speak at all. Second, or teach in the name of Jesus. What would you do if faced with a similar predicament? What would you do if they showed you a picture of the cross and said, shut up or else? What would you do? I'll tell you what. I don't have this written down, but I'll tell you what. You spend time alone with God in this book, and you'll come out and you'll say, bring it on, Smedley. Bring it on. That's Matthew chapter 13, right? The cares of this world, or really we could say the anxieties of this age, knock out 25% of those that start off in the faith because they've never let God see them through trials they're going through in their life. Peter's answer, Peter and John answer, this is verse 19. They said, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you be the judge of that. For we cannot, now may his answer be yours and my answer. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and the things that we've heard. May that be our answer today as well. You can't help but speak. You can't help but speak all the things that God has done for you, all the healings that the Lord Jesus has done for you. How can you keep quiet after all that he's done? Stop and take inventory sometime of all the things that Jesus has done for you in your life. Sometimes we need to do that. That's why God told them to build stones of remembrance so that you'd never forget all the things that God's done for you. We cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. Verse 21, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Let's follow Peter and John and see what happens. Verse 23, so being let go, they went to their own companions and they reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why do the nations... All right, now he's going to quote Psalm 2. I would never quote Psalm 2 here, but then again, I'm not an apostle. These guys are saying this verse has been fulfilled. Not the way I would have looked at it. Anyway, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Verse 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. So look at this group of people. Herod, and Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the Jews. Look at who the Holy Spirit says is the one responsible for everything that happened to him. Verse 28. Notice the capital Y here, if you have a New King James. To do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. So it's God's purpose, not the devil's, not anyone else's purpose for that matter. The purpose of God was for the Son to die so that he could save you, while at the same time not compromising his absolute holiness. Because there's only one way to save you. And that is for the only qualified person in the universe to offer up his own blood as an atonement for your sins. And instead of your blood. So he's got a plan. Instead of your blood, because the wages of sin is death, God has a camp meeting with himself. And he comes out of that meeting and says, I am going to die in your place. This was God's plan. This was not Satan's plan. This is God's plan. And all of these jokers here that had a part in this, Herod, the so-called great, Pontius Pilate, Jews, the Gentiles, all of this was all part of God's plan, because he loves you just that much to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined to be done. Because the only way to save you, and that is, again, for the only qualified person in the universe to offer up his own blood as an atonement for you. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Ephesians 1:7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So this was the purpose of God. I'll let the Apostle Paul tell us why, and we'll end today's sermon with this verse. This is 2 Corinthians 5:18. It says, now all things are of God, even all this that we've looked at. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, go and tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus died in my place. Right? He's given to us the word of reconciliation. And that is, of course, I'll take you. I'll take you and you. That's what it is, to be reconciled back to God. Verse 19, God was in Jesus reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, there's the second time he says it, has committed to us the message of this reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. In 2026, millions of Americans will visit the nation's capital, many of them to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. In its memorials and museums, Washington, D.C. speaks to the grand and noble purpose of America and of the founding generation. And there's also much to be found in its architecture. Several years ago, the Museum of the Bible opened a first-of-its-kind virtual flying tour that was called Washington Revelations. The experience took visitors through D.C., highlighting the biblical and Christian references to be found on various monuments and buildings. The sheer amount of those references, which was just a small percentage of all that exists, was, to say the least, impressive.